Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's the other thing. You want to talk about 2020 part two. The last time Kyle Shanahan got embarrassed by Josh Allen on primetime, they drafted Trey Lance.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're not in a position to do that, and I don't think that they would. But they were in that position because they sucked in 2020. All the injuries got. And remember, one of the injuries was their starting quarterback. They haven't really experienced that this year, right? There's been a lot of injuries. But honestly, those injuries have started to pile up late. And they were still playing like shit early in the season when almost everybody was there and healthy. So I don't think injuries are what you can point to like you could in 2020. But the thing that is the same as 2020 is that this team continues to get embarrassed against good teams. And then they embarrass themselves against bad teams. That wasn't happening in 2020. They weren't embarrassing themselves against bad teams. They were competitive against bad teams. This team embarrasses themselves against bad teams because they choke away victories. I just don't know that Brock Purdy is a quarterback that you can pay $60 million to. And I don't think that that is an indictment on Brock Purdy as a player. I think that is just a reality of what his skill set is, what he's good at, what his weaknesses are, and how that fits into a roster, right? You could do that with Patrick Mahomes because Patrick Mahomes is the tide that lifts all boats. You can do that with Josh Allen because Josh Allen is the tide that lifts all boats. Same with Lamar Jackson, right? You could even argue Joe Burrow, right? The problems in Cincinnati are not Joe Burrow's fault, right? Joe Burrow is actually balling out.
Phenomenal.
I think
this
he's
year.
41 touchdowns and 5 interceptions or 38 touchdowns and 5 interceptions, something like that. He is not the problem in Cincinnati, right? When you have a guy like that, you can identify what your problems are and then work around them. I don't think Brock Purdy is that guy. I don't think that Brock Purdy is the tide that lifts all boats. And I also don't think Dak Prescott is. He's still got $60 million, but that's Jerry Jones.
But therein lies the problem. And Burrow's at 30-5 right now for TDs and picks. He's having a phenomenal season. So one team at some point is going to have to say, I am not paying this quarterback that kind of money.
Just because he's the next one up.
Right. We're not doing it. And you see Trevor Lawrence. guys like that. It's just the contracts. So we're going to give them the contract. Well, mm-hmm. he's not worth it. Mm-hmm. He's not worth that kind of money. So a team is going to have to say eventually, maybe it'll be the 49ers. Look, Brock, we like you. We want you to be here. But if we commit this kind of money, it's going to really hurt us in other spots. You've only had two seasons under your belt. Let's do a shorter term deal. Maybe more money up front. A Daniel Jones, Geno Smith type thing. Mm-hmm. That's probably the smartest thing for them to do. He's still under contract for one more season. Is he going to hold out next year? I don't know that would happen. But what the Niners should say to him is, listen, 3 years at, I don't know, $120 million.
You've got 2 years under your belt with two injuries to your throwing arm as well.
Great point as well. So 2.5 seasons. I mean, he got hit with the elbow, but now you have a shoulder injury.
Sure.
We don't know. We need more time to evaluate. So you just do a shorter term deal. Maybe you give him more money up front, sign or whatever you do it. I don't know how they do these contracts. There's always ways to finagle things, and that's just it. And you're not paying him 60. Maybe you're paying him 40, and you're not going to get away with paying him 20. But
right.
It's shorter term thing. Maybe it's a 3 year deal. It's really a 2 year deal, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what you have. And then if you have to walk away in a couple of years, you can do that. But yeah, at this point, a 5 year, $300 million deal extension or whatever.
I don't even think that's on the table. If I'm being perfectly honest, I don't think that's on the table. I don't know that it's ever been on the table. I don't know that the 49ers have ever, there's been no indication that while the 49ers are willing to pay Brock Purdy, there's been no indication that they'd be willing to pay him at the level that the Cowboys paid Dak Prescott or even the level that the Jaguars paid Trevor Lawrence. Now, I think Brock Purdy's done more to earn a contract like that than Trevor Lawrence has.
100%.
But
he may have done more than Dak has. I mean, Dak doesn't have the postseason
success. Yeah, absolutely. So I think that is the biggest question, and it possibly that is why Purdy is still out there, is because the team is still trying to evaluate. You know, maybe they don't know yet. Maybe they don't know if they want to. Because here's the thing. I know this sounds crazy. I get it. Kirk Cousins could be available.
He's washed, though, dude.
I agree. I'm not saying I want that. I'm not saying that's good. But we know Kyle Shanahan. We know his affinity for Kirk Cousins. But you know who else will be available? And it's currently piloting a team with 10 wins. Sam Darnold.
No.
I'm just saying, if you don't want to pay Brock Purdy, if you're not sure you want to pay him, and he is maybe not willing to play that third season, right? You got to have contingency plans. He's showing it.
I don't think he's great, but he's showing it. And he probably won't be back in Minnesota next year. And he has shown.
That's my point, again, because JJ McCarthy's already there. Just because Sam Darnold's played well this season, I don't think you punt on JJ McCarthy.
No. I don't think you do that.
And I think Sam Darnold signed a 1 year deal there.
He did. So, here's my other thing with what we're talking about right now. We don't know. We're just talking hypothetically here. We're just having a discussion. If they do decide, look, we're not going to pay you, Brock, and Brock's like, okay, good, trade me then. Somebody will trade me, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking now, it would be Kyle Shanahan's ninth season. You're looking for a quarterback.
So
they would have identified. Now, Brian Hoyer was a placeholder. He was never going to be. But they didn't want to draft a quarterback.
He was the placeholder for Kirk Cousins.
Right, because that was the plan. Yeah,
that was the plan.
You get Garoppolo, you decide to not go through with the Kirk Cousins plan. You sign Jimmy Garoppolo, you are running him out of town 3 years later, or whatever it was. Then you draft Trey Lance, you make the biggest trade in Niners history to go get Trey Lance. Maybe the biggest bust of all time, right up there. One of them, biggest busts. Can't even get on the field, third stringer for the Cowboys. You get rid of him after 2 years because you got. Part of the reason you were able to do that is because you got lucky in the seventh round with your newest quarterback, who's now their third franchise quarterback. Okay.
right.
that the team has identified. If you're moving on from him again, some point, man, that's got to fall back on Kyle. What mm-hmm. are you doing with your quarterback evaluations? Do you even know how to evaluate a quarterback? I'm glad your offense works. It's QB friendly, but at some point you need to get a long-term solution there. You can't keep playing musical quarterbacks because eventually you're not going to be able to find one. It's hard to find good quarterbacks.
Well, and here's the other reality is there aren't any in this year's draft, right?
No, like,
you're talking about a QB draft that's going to be topped by Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. Maybe Cam Ward, maybe. But there's 0% chance that Kyle Shanahan would be interested in Shedeur Sanders at all. I just think there's a 0% chance. So, like I said, maybe Cam Ward, but you know, because in that scenario, like you said, you trade Brock Purdy, you likely get a first round pick, and then you package those two first picks to move up, right? Like it probably wouldn't be the same level of investment that they did in 2021, right? I don't know that they'd even have to give a future one away. Maybe they would. I don't know. Depends on how far they're trying to get up and who they're targeting. But yeah, I mean, very few coaches survive a franchise quarterback who didn't end up being a franchise quarterback. Now, typically that's a drafted quarterback, but
right.
very few coaches, very few GMs survive. Like you said, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are on their third. If they get rid of him and say, you know, we're starting over again, I don't know. You know, we talked about, is it a market inefficiency, right? That if you've got an offense that is quarterback friendly enough that a seventh round Mr. Irrelevant can come in and pilot it with some pretty significant success. Maybe you don't think that you have to invest $50 to $60 million in a quarterback. Maybe you do genuinely believe, hey, we can go in cycles. I don't agree with that, but it could be part of, because again, we know what happened after 2020, right? Kyle Shanahan was like, this isn't going to happen again. F this. I'm going to get me a guy like Josh Allen who absolutely just embarrassed me. And he tried to do that and failed. But you're also beholden to whoever is in the draft. Again, maybe that is part of the issue, is like you jumped the gun and you didn't do enough, right? They made that trade so that they had enough time to evaluate all the quarterbacks thoroughly. But maybe that's the backwards way of doing it. Maybe you evaluate them thoroughly. And then if you're convinced, then you make that trade.
The issue, like I said,
there's really no one in this draft.
And the issue with the recycling quarterbacks things, they haven't built the team from 2021 to 2024 the same way they did 2017 to 2020.
Correct.
They haven't brought in those impact blue chip players. They've tried to plug holes. They take a kicker
because of that trade, though, largely.
Partially, yeah. But even the people that they've brought in, like, oh, we're going to take a kicker in the third round because we need a kicker. We're going to take Ricky Pearsall in the first round because we need a receiver. They're not taking the best players. They weren't worried about the trenches. So you're trying to fill holes because they wanted to double down on this core, right? Kyle's like, we have this core and we're going to extend them. And now you've extended these guys and they're getting old. The Debo Samuel restructure looks awful.
Yeah, awful, he fell right off now. A cliff.
But that's what I've been saying that for so long. I know you know that, but just like in general, that's what happens. Guys fall off a cliff. So you keep doubling down and we're going to give you more money and we're going to rip up your old contract and here you go. And everybody's getting old. So now if you want to recycle quarterbacks, it's one thing to have a recycled quarterback when you have Ayuk, Debo, McCaffrey, Kittle all in their primes, right? It's a whole different thing when you have Brent Ayuk coming off a major knee injury, the ghost of Debo Samuel. Kittle's still very good, but he'll be 32, right? 32 years old. McCaffrey is going to be in running back pushing 30. It's not the same team. They're not the same dudes. So Kyle and John, whoever, someone really needs to have an intervention with them and say, you guys need to start taking like just great football players again. You need to prioritize the trenches. The way that you've been drafting isn't going to work. And again, I know people like this draft. I don't think there's a blue chip impact player in this last draft class. Doesn't mean they're not going to be good starters, but typically Mustafa is going to be their starting safety moving forward. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But safeties don't impact the game like an edge rusher
unless
does.
unless you're a generational talent,
right? And again, he's not Ed Reed, right? Right. He's not that type of player. He's not Troy Polamalu, good player, but fine. Ricky Pearsall, he hasn't had a catch in three games. He certainly doesn't look Malik Nabers-ish again, where he's going to be a blue chip carry the team type guy. Renardo Green, maybe starting corner. But he's not Patrick Surtain. You know what I mean? Like you have guys who you can get in and are going to play, but they're not going to be your blue chip guys who are going to carry the team. They're just kind of.
But I do think Dominic Pooney looks like a blue chip player. It's just that a position. I say it's at a position that doesn't necessarily impact the team as much as others. But also, we're fans of a team who have been victimized by interior defensive pressure in two Super Bowls that you could argue were the reasons why they lost those Super Bowls. So for this team particularly, I think that is a step up. And this podcast has been largely outside of Al getting to regale us with tales of meeting the Kittles and Christian Juszczyk has been largely negative. The one positive that I felt like came out of this game is that Ben Bartsch needs to be the left guard.
He played well.
Regardless of whether
a couple of good games.
Regardless of Aaron Banks's status in the concussion protocol, Ben Bartsch has earned another start at least. The running game hasn't looked as good as it did against Buffalo all season. Well, I take that back. Week one looked great. Week one looked phenomenal. And Jalen Moore looked really good at left tackle, filling in for Trent Williams, especially in the run game. So there's our silver lining, our one positive from this game. Looks like they may have found an answer at left guard. But that's the other thing. Aaron Banks was a second round pick. To have to replace him in a contract year, not ideal. And replace him because he's just sucks, not because he's injured.
You're not paying that dude. It can't pay.
Yeah,
that dude.
No chance.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's just moving forward. They've really screwed up building the team or maintaining the team or whatever it is. And we're going to start to feel that. And if you pay a quarterback, and even if Purdy plays the way he did last year, beginning of this year, he's more in the Dak Prescott range of a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You're just in purgatory. You're just in purgatory. So we do want them to extend him, but you know, assuming unless he absolutely falls off a cliff for the rest of the season, but from what we've seen for the most part, and assuming when he's healthy, yeah, I'd like to see them keep him around. But, you know, again, at what cost?
And maybe the way that you kind of toe the line or thread the needle, if you will, just still trying to figure out, is Brock Purdy the answer long term? I agree with you. I think a short-term extension that really rewards him for these past two seasons being paid less than $1 million, you know, extend him for 3 years. Again, it gives you an even better resume, if you will, to judge him on. But it doesn't tie you long term if you want to cut bait. But if that's the route that you go, you also need to find some guy that is like raw, right? But you can see like Josh Allen tools or whatever. Like draft someone like that, stash them and let them develop, right? Let them develop the way that quarterbacks used to develop, right? Without just throwing them in the fire, and see if you can't find, you know, a guy like a Jordan Love, right? Where the Packers drafted him while Aaron Rodgers was still there, and they are now, for the most part, reaping the rewards of that, right? You got to do something, right? Because and then the other thing is, Brock Purdy's kind of injury prone. based on what we've seen. Again, you can't blame him for the elbow. Don't know what happened with the shoulder, but regardless of how they happened or why they happened, they still happen. And, you know, that scares you a little bit.